Praise the Lord. Am I too high, Fred? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We give honor to all that honor is due. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord today? Amen. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Some say I could be in my bed, I could be doing this, I could be doing that, but it's always good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Because it's great, it's good to give thanks to Him because He's so good to us. I thank God for being saved today and on the Lord's side. I thank God for all of you, our church family. Amen. And I just feel the need to, after listening to our sister there, I got this. I want to do one of those, announcements, the thoughts and opinions of this is not reflective of Greater Love in Christ Church. Amen. Amen. You know I'm just messing with you, right? But the fact of the matter is, it is okay to cry. Amen. It is okay to, you don't always got this. Amen. Sometimes we don't got this. It is okay to ask for help. It is okay to say that you're in need. It is okay for all of those things. And contrary to what she said, it's not okay for any of us, but maybe her and Sister Paulette to tap the 19-year-old on the butt. All right, so just take everything that Sister Camille said up here today and just push it to the side, all right? Amen. 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 But we love you and we thank God for you. Amen. We're going to go to Luke. Let's go to Luke 15. And I don't have a fire and brimstone message for you today. The Lord gave me a message. The Lord, it's about an attitude adjustment today. Is that all right? Is it all right? Every once in a while, you got to check your attitude. Amen. We're doing an attitude check today. Amen. Brother Mo, I'm not picking on you, but do you have a place to lay your head at night? Amen. If you're hungry, could you get something to eat? Amen. Do you pull out your drawer and got some choices before you put some clothes on? You're doing all right, aren't you? But brother, preacher, back when I was out on the street, I had a pocket full of money. I had whatever I wanted, all this stuff. But did you have peace? Peace is priceless. I love you, brother. We can't ever let our guard down. Amen. Remember we talked about, I think it was the last time I spoke about this, the gates? The devil comes to do what? Does he fight fair? Is he sneaky? Huh? Is he conniving? You know him, right? He tries different ways to discourage you. He tries you to see what you don't have, right? He tries to get you to think about what you used to have, right? Don't he do it? Sometimes he makes what you used to be look better than what you are now, and you know that's not the case. Don't he do it? Huh? Why? Because he wants to discourage you. He wants you to think you're not getting anywhere. He wants you to think it's not happening fast enough to the point where you get so depressed, so discouraged, and so sad that you say, I can't do it no more. He won. Right? He's got nothing to offer us but lies. But lies. You may not be where you want to be, but you ain't where you used to be. That goes for all of us. We may not be where we want to be, but we're not where we used to be. And we got to remind ourselves of that when he's trying to remind us of what we don't have and who we are not. When he's trying to show us the bad things about ourselves, when he's trying to make us discouraged and he's trying to tell us what, you know, he's trying to magnify all the challenges in our lives, we got to tell him, look, get out of here, Satan. You ain't never did nothing good for me. You've never told me the truth. And truth be told, I got more today than I've ever had. I don't care. Yeah, you know, it might be a struggle for me to pay my bills. It might be a struggle for me to do what I want to do right now, but I got more today than I ever had with you. Don't let your guard down. Don't let your guard down. That goes for all of us. Don't let your guard down. Keep, be mind, these are your gates to your mind. You decide what you let in and what you let out. You decide what you listen to. You decide what you look at. You decide what you believe. You decide how you're going to spend your time. You decide who you're going to spend it with. Be mindful and be guarded at all times. Because he will slip things in on you before you even know it. You'd be like, where did that come from? Why do I feel the way I feel? Why am I getting up feeling depressed? Why am I getting up feeling like I don't want to do anything? Why am I feeling the way I'm feeling? Never let your guard down. Always, always be mindful of who you are in Christ Jesus. Is that the 19-year-old? Let it be known that the 19-year-old has entered the building. Amen. 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 I just saved you. Just before you came in here, I just saved you, by the way. I'll tell you about it later. Amen. Amen. Let's go to Luke 15. Very, very familiar parable, but has so many different lessons in it, if you will. The parable of the prodigal son. Amen? How many know the parable? Right? You're familiar with it? We'll read it real quick because most of you are familiar with it. It starts at the 11th verse and goes to the end of the chapter. Chapter 15 of Luke. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is now alive again. He was lost and now he's found. They began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came back and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father has killed the fatted calf because he has received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gave me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as the son was come, which has devoured the living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, you are with me, and all that I have is yours. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. Amen. The parable of the prodigal son. Now, like I said, there's many lessons, many messages that come from this parable. But just to give us a little mindset of what this was like, and this doesn't even do it justice. And what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to break all the rules and I'm going to stereotype, okay? But it's like, just imagine, it's like, you ever go out to Fayetteville and Manlius and see all those big, big houses and the big land and all that, or Skinny Atlas, and you go to these places and these beautiful mansions? And the kids that live in those houses that their parents have so much money are the kids that drive to school at 16 years old in a Range Rover. Amen. They never worked a day in their life, and they're driving a Range Rover, and they got all, you know, I'm stereotyping right now, okay? But I'm just trying to get you to see that they have need for nothing. To this point, they don't know what it's like to struggle. They've always gotten whatever they need, right? If we could learn two things about this life in Christ. It's one, we need to know whose we are. Whose we are. Right? If you've accepted Jesus Christ, if you've accepted that gift of salvation, right? If you said yes to that, if you said, I accept that gift, you died for me, you rose again, I accept it, I believe it, I'm thankful for it, praise you, Jesus. If that's you, if that's your testimony, the Bible says that you are now heirs and joint heirs, am I right? Of God the Father. You know, we all know, I think we probably all know what an heir is, but I just, for the sake of, you know, I Googled it. And listen to what Google says for an heir. A person legally entitled to the property or rank of another on that person's death. Legally, huh? Or entitled to the property or rank of another on that person's death. Did he die for you? Did the Bible say that you are an heir and a joint heir of Jesus Christ?
then if we don't know anything else about what's going to happen tomorrow, about the politics, about the world ending, about anything else, we should know whose we are. Amen. I am because Jesus died for me and rose again, and I've accepted that gift in my life. I am now an heir and a joint heir of God the Father and Jesus Christ himself. Do you understand what that means? Do you understand what that means? Those rich families that you read about and you see about when the father dies or whatever, the mother dies, it gets passed down to the kids. They inherit. They inherit the riches and all the things that the father had. Amen? Do you hear what I'm saying? So in this story, we got two brothers. And one of them said, you know what? When my father dies, I'm going to inherit all this that he has. But he said, guess what? I don't know when my father's going to die, and I ain't willing to wait. So he goes to the father, breaks his father's heart. He says, give me whatever I would get when you die. Give it to me now. Give it to me now, because I want to get out of here. I want to live. I want to go see what the world has to offer. Give me what I would have, what I would get. Give it to me now. And the father gave him what his portion would be. And as the story goes, he goes out into the world. And for a little while, he was having a great time. Amen? Pocket full of money. Whenever you got a pocket full of money, you got a bunch of friends, right? You got the opposite sex throwing themselves at you. You got a bunch of friends. You can go anywhere you want. You can buy whatever you want. You can have a great time. Everybody loves you until the money runs out. Amen? Then you look around and the girls are gone, the friends are gone, ain't nobody around, you need some help now. Hello? Your pockets are empty. Your pride is hurt. You can't go back because of how you left. At least you think that. So he gets to the point, this is a rich kid, okay? This is a rich kid that was driving the Range Rover, that could have whatever he wants. This was the rich kid. Gets to the point where he's feeding the pigs in the slop, and in his mind he's wishing, I wish I could eat what they're eating right now. That's how hungry I am. Amen? And then he comes to himself and he says, what am I doing? My father is the one who owns that big old castle up on that hill. That's my father. Amen? And here I am, starving in the hog's pen of life. And he comes to himself and he says, I got to swallow my pride and I got to go back. And I know I'm not worthy to be back in the position that I was when I left. I just want a job. Just hire me I'll be a servant, Father. Just put me out and I don't care if it's sweeping the floors, if it's cleaning the toilets. I don't care what it is. Just give me a job. Amen? So the attitude check for us today that I want us all to leave here with is this. One, we have to know whose we are. And if we realize whose we are, if we realize that we are heirs to God the Father, that means whatever he has, we have access to. Do you understand that? So when you are in need, you have the right to ask him for what you need. Amen? Matter of fact, he says, you have not because you ask not. And then he says, come boldly unto the throne of grace. Why? Because it's your right. You are my son. You are my daughter. You have a right to come to me. So that's who we are. So I say that to say this, that when the enemy, when the devil's trying to show you all the things that you don't have, and how, and what he does is he gets you looking. See, remember how we talked about the race? And we all got our race to run. We all got our lanes to stay in, right? And anybody who's ever had anything to do with track knows that if you're racing against somebody and you're running, the worst thing you can do is turn your head to the left or to the right. You just lost time. Amen? But that's what the enemy has us to do. We get so discouraged, so depressed, that he has me looking over at Sister Janice, and man, Sister Janice is driving a nice car, and I'm over here struggling, and I'm trying to do everything just like Sister Janice is, and Sister Janice seems to be doing so well, and I can't get to sleep at night. Guess what does that profit me? I have no idea what Sister Janice has gone through to have whatever she has. Amen? Many times we look at other people and say, I wish I had their life, or I wish I had what they... You don't know what they went through to get where they are. If you knew, you might say, no, you can keep that. I'll stay over here. Amen? And besides that, whenever we take... The Bible says, keep your eyes on Jesus, right? Whenever we take our eyes off the prize of Jesus, we always mess up. We always start to sink. Right? But the enemy wants to tell you, oh, don't you wish you weren't struggling all the time? Don't you wish you weren't paycheck to paycheck? Don't you wish you had, you know, a little more money? Don't you wish, you know, your friends got a house down in Florida and a house here? Don't you wish you had that? No, 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 be thankful for what you got. Truth be told, many of us don't have some of the things that we would like to have because we're not thankful. Oh. We're not thankful for what we have right now. Huh? If you're a parent and you got kids and then you give something to this kid and you give something to this kid and this one, that's all? That's all you're going to give me? And this one, thank you so much. I love. Who are you going to show favor to? Huh? Wait a second, I'm giving you something and you're not appreciative? I mean, you're not paying for it? I'm giving it to you? I go to work every day for 8 or 9 hours and put up with those crazy folks over there so that you can have sneaks, so that you can have, and you're not going to be thankful for it? Huh? God's the same way. We break God's heart when we do that. Why do you think God feels when you're sitting there thinking about, I wish I had what that person had. I wish I had this. I wish I had that. And God's like, really? What about what I got for you? It's not good enough? It's not good enough. It's not good enough. I wish I had a place. I wish there was like 2,000, 3,000 young people in here right now. Because what I would say to them, if you need to know whose you are, number one, because if you know whose you are, you realize that you don't ever have to be in want, because whatever you need, God has for you, right? And then I would take them right to Philippians, which we're going to go right now. I'd take them right to Philippians, the 4th chapter, and I'd start at the 10th verse, and I'd say, the Bible says this, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last, your care of me has flourished again, wherein we were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. And it says here, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever, look at somebody and say, whatsoever, I have learned. This is the attitude check right here. I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. Somebody say, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. You can say, ouch, you can say, amen, but it's the truth. I have learned that whatsoever state I am, to be content. Why? Because I now know both how to be abased, I know how to have, and I now know how to be abound. I know not to have. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And thank you, Jesus, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's the attitude check for today. That's the attitude check for today. Because in the story, it's not all about the son that asked for his inheritance and made a fool of himself and came back. It's also about the other son that never went nowhere, that never asked for nothing, that was just there all the time. And what happened to him? He got angry. Why did he get angry? Because he said, Father, I didn't take the money ahead of time. I didn't go make a fool of myself and this family. I didn't do all the things he did, and yet he comes back and gets a party. I've been here all along. You've never done that for me. What's the matter? You're not thankful for what you got? Right? You're looking at him, and you're seeing he's got a party, and you're not thankful for what you want. What was the father's answer to what the son said? He said, Son, I know you've been here all along, and guess what? Because you're my son, you have access to everything I have. Everything I have is yours. That's not enough. Attitude check. Attitude check. Ask yourself this morning, are there times when I'm not content in the state that I am? Are there times when I waste time looking at what others have? Are there times when I'm jealous or envious of how others are doing? Are there times when I'm comparing my situation in life or my state in life to others, wishing that I had it good like them? You don't know how they got it. Everything you see on the outside is not always the way it is. You look at people sometimes and you say, oh man, I would love to have their life. Boy, they really, you don't know what they got. You don't know what's happening behind the scenes. You don't know what it took for them to get there. Huh? Even in the church, you know, many times, and I know the Lot family can appreciate this, many times church folk look at the pastor, look at his wife, look at the family and say, wow, they got to go. I wish I had what they had. I wish that. You don't know what they go through. It's the hardest thing. They got it harder than anybody. And you wishing you were, oh, he gets an offering, or he gets paid, or you know they're doing this, or you know you want to. No, you don't know. You don't know what happens behind the scenes. Be careful comparing your life to somebody else's, because you don't know the story. And truth be told, these people that you think you want to switch places with, you couldn't handle it if you were switched places with them. And also, truth be told, because some of us have not yet mastered this attitude check that I'm talking about today, you know, the kind of God we serve, he supplies all of our needs. 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 But, every once in a while, if you have the right attitude, If you've been a good steward, if he can trust you with it, he'll give you some of your wants too. Amen? Some of those things that are not based on need but are based on want, if he feels like you can handle it, sometimes he'll give you some of those too. He doesn't mind you having nice things. But if he can't trust you with them, in other words, if he knows that if he gives you this, that's gonna take up more of your than him, he ain't gonna give it to you. Amen? Because he wants all your focus on him. So the attitude check today is based more on the other brother that was there all along. See, all of us get caught sometimes wishing things were different. But you have to understand that that's one of the enemy's biggest tricks. That's how he gets depression in there. That's how he gets disappointment in there. That's how he gets, the stinking thinking into your gates by you wishing things were different instead of being thankful for where you are. That's why I said what I said, and that's what we have to say to all of ourselves. Right? Do I got a place to lay my head at night? If I was hungry, could I eat? Do I got some clothes to put on? And you say, oh, yeah, that's nice. I want to live. If you got peace in your life, if you've got joy in your life, in spite of the circumstances, in spite of the world that we live in spite of everything that's going on, you're living. You're living. Because there's so many people out there dying in their circumstances, dying in their thinking, dying because they don't have Christ. You're living. You see, society has taught us to strive for more and for more, to climb that ladder. It's not good enough to be where you are. You need to be the manager. You need to be the boss. You need to keep climbing that ladder as far as you can go. But at what cost? At what cost? Again, God has no problem whatsoever with you being all that he has made you to be, with you just doing everything that's within your, he has no problem with that as long as things are in order, as long as you understand that without him you are nothing, as long as you understand that if he didn't die for you, you wouldn't have this opportunity, as long as your mind is in the right place. None of us are in here today and say our lives are perfect. None of us. We all have struggles. We all have challenges. Amen? We all have things that we're going through. But guess what? If we are saved, if we've accepted the gift of salvation, we're all blessed. We're all blessed and highly favored. You need to remind yourself that sometimes. Amen? Remind yourself who your father is. Remind the devil who your father is. Amen? Tell him who you are, not because of you, but because of him. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Not through Nick, not through the, through Christ who strengthens me. I can get through any battle that comes my way. I can handle any situation as long as I do it with him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Cast all your cares on him, all the things that you worry about, all the things that keep you up at night, all the things that you are worried about, cast them onto him. He says, I can carry it. They're too heavy for you. If you have concerns, if you have things that you're worried about, it's all right, but give them to him. Tell him about it. Lord, I'm giving it to you. Help me with it. Take care of it for me. He's your father. Are you telling me that if your child, if your son and your daughter came to you and said, Daddy, Mommy, I need your help, you're not going to help them? You're darn right you're going to help them. I don't care what the situation is. I don't care how bad they messed up. That's your son. That's your daughter. That's my blood. I'm going to be there for them. I'm going to help them. God's saying the same thing. It's my blood. You are his blood. He shed his blood for you. Yeah, I'm going to help you. I ain't going to point my finger and say, I told you so. I'm going to open my arms and say, you once was lost, but now you're found. Give God praise. I'm going to have a party. Whenever you come to me asking for forgiveness, I want to give you grace. I want to give you mercy. I want to give you love. You're my blood. Think about it. Think about your relationship with your own children. You would do just about anything for them. And God would do the same thing and even die for them and for you. It's an attitude check today. It's an attitude check today. Am I content? See, we have a problem with contentment because we make it feel like satisfied. And we say, I should never be satisfied. I should always be striving for more. No, it's not satisfied. It's content. It means whatever state I find myself in right now, I'm good. Whether this is a time in my life where things are well or things are hard. Whether I'm experiencing a high or a low, whatever it is, I'm good. I'm good. Why am I good? Because I'm his son. And he's got my back. And whatever I need, he's going to take care of it. And whatever comes my way, I don't have to do it alone. Amen. If there's things that are too hard for me, things I struggle, I can give them to him. That's why I'm good. Whether I'm down here or I'm up here. And that happens in life, right? We have peaks, we have valleys, we have good days, we have bad. No matter what, I'm good. I'm content. It doesn't mean I'm satisfied. It doesn't mean that I can't grow, that I can't do better in the Lord, but I'm good. Today, I'm good. I'm good because he woke me up this morning. I got so much to be thankful for. Yeah, I could give you a list of things that are troubling me right now. I could give you a list of challenges that I have, but I choose to tell you how good God is. I choose to focus on the things that I'm thankful for. Because I found that the more I focus on things that I'm thankful for, the less I worry about the trouble. And the less the trouble worries me. Amen? It's an attitude check today. It's an attitude check. Are you content? As long as we know who we are and whose we are, then we should always, no matter what the situation, be able to step back and say, not I got this, but we got this. Amen? He's got this. And he's my father. And my father would do anything for me because I'm his blood. That's why when we do the Lord's table, that's why we need to celebrate and we need to be thankful because we're acknowledging the fact that it's his blood that was shed for us. We are now his blood. And you would do anything for your blood. Let us stand. If there's anyone that has not yet said yes to that gift of salvation, We will take all the time that we need to help you with that at this time. But really, it's just a matter of saying, yes, I accept the gift that Jesus died for me and that he rose again. And I realize that I'm a sinner, that all of us have come short of the glory of God, and that I need Jesus in my life. I need to become part of the family. I don't want to be on the outside looking in no more. I need to become part of the family so that I could have access to all that my Father has. Is there one today? Lord, we thank you for this message of an attitude check for us today. Doesn't matter how long we've been saved. Doesn't matter how much we know or don't know. Every once in a while, we got to take inventory of where our mind's at and what our heart is set on. Lord, help us to not complain so much. Help us, Lord, to stop being enviable of others. Help us to stop looking at what somebody else has. Help us to run our own race, Lord. And help us to be thankful and joyful while running it. Because if we really be honest with ourselves, you have been so good to us. You've done so much for us that if you didn't do another thing, you've done more than enough already. But we know you'll continue to keep on doing great things because that's the kind of Father that you are. And Lord, forgive us if we've been unthankful. Forgive us if we've not been content, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Because we want to have an attitude of gratitude. We want to wake up every morning and realize whose we are. And we want to be thankful for what we have because it's what you have blessed us with. And we want to be good stewards over what you've entrusted to us so that you will get the glory, you will get the honor, and you can move us farther down the race. And when we're thankful and when we're joyful, then we are attractive to others. And our light shines because of you. Lord, we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. We thank you for your strength today. Lord, the strength that I need for this day is in you. The things I need for this day, you have it, Lord. I walk in your blessings. I walk in your goodness. I walk in your victory. Forgive us, Lord. Have mercy on us. We thank you, thank you, thank you for your grace that you continue to bestow upon us when we don't deserve it. You've been better to us than we've been to ourselves. As we leave this place, but not your presence, help us to do a little attitude check and ask ourselves the question, how's my attitude been lately? Have I been thankful or have I been complaining? Am I content knowing that with you we can do all things? Or am I constantly worrying and complaining and frustrated about my circumstance? It's attitude check time, Lord. And we thank you for the reminder. Bring us back at the appointed time. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Thank God. Amen. Come on, give somebody a big hug.